Welcome to the Flawed Podcast, where we get to know different people's focused lifestyles and their winning disciplines. And now, your host, the one and only Peter Larson.
Thank you very much, and welcome to episode 50 already. Time flies, with Stacy Harmon. Stacy is an Evernote expert and a professional digital organizer. She runs a course online which is called Radical Productivity. She has over 8 years of experience with consulting and working with Evernote. In this episode, she shares her valuable insights, how we all can improve our digital lives, even though if we're not using Evernote. But, of course, we talk a lot about Evernote and how we can centralize our lives in one place. We also talk about how it's possible to work from anywhere. Stacy shares her insights, how that can be done and what she has been doing for the last couple of years. We get awesome tips and strategies how to radically improve our productivity with straightforward, simple actions that you can start to implement right away. This episode goes hand in hand with episode 49, where we met Manuel Marquina. And we will, of course, have links to Stacy's course and perhaps some discounts if you're lucky. Thanks, Stacy, for taking the time, and I hope you will enjoy this episode with Stacy Harmon, Radical Productivity with Evernote. Enjoy.
I can tell you this, Evernote completely changed how I work and how I run my life. So it was a pivotal point for me, that and GTD, so I'm happy to discuss that.
Let's start with that. So,
okay.
Welcome, everyone, to the Flawed Podcast. Today, we have Stacy Harmon on the line and on the call. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here, Peter.
All right. Welcome. Very welcome. So tell us who you are and what you do.
Sure. Well, I'm Stacy Harmon. I'm principal of Harmon Enterprises, and I have a course that I call Radical Productivity with Evernote. So my business is focused entirely around Evernote skills, training, and consulting. I'm based in Austin, Texas, and I've been all in with Evernote for many, many years. I'm a kind of an Evernote junkie. I'm an Evernote certified consultant also, and I've written a book on Evernote called Untethered with Evernote, and I'm kind of a digital organization like geek, and Evernote's my tool. I love it, and it's changed my life, so I get to share with other people kind of how it's been transformative for me and help them do the same.
Perfect. So let's start with how you, a bit more about your background. How did you find Evernote and what did you do before Evernote?
Sure. Well, at the time I was living in California, and Evernote's based in California, yes, in the Silicon Valley. And I was doing a lot of speaking to a real estate community about social media marketing. Okay. In about 2008, 2009, 2010. And when I would travel around and listen to these different speakers on the same circuit, they would talk about the top 10 apps of the year. And Evernote always came up. It was always like, oh, you've got to try this hot app. And I kept downloading it, and I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand what everybody's all excited about. But it didn't go away. So I started, like, my core skill is organizing. Like, I am an organizational, like, I can't help but think that way. Okay? It's just how I am.
Has it always been like that, or?
Yes, it's always. My mom said to me, I was reading my baby book, and she said that she logged in my baby book that I took great delight in, like, taking the blocks out of the box and putting them back in a bunch of different ways. So it's not that I wanted to build with the blocks. I wanted to, like, organize them. So I think it's just in my nature. I've always been that way, and it's the first thing I do when I'm stressed is I stop and I get things, like, organized, right?
Okay.
So I have this odd talent for it that is now, Evernote is such a brilliant tool to express that for me. And so I really think I help people get digitally organized. So when I heard about this app, I was like fascinated because I'm like, oh, I'm an organized person. I want to figure out about it. And I didn't really get it, but I kept at it. And I had a couple aha moments. And eventually I went, oh my gosh, this app is so much more powerful than most people understand. And I said, I've got to get around other people that understand how powerful it is. So I hopped on a plane from Southern California and went up to the Silicon Valley and went to the user conference of Evernote. Oh, and that really started my relationship with networking with them and meeting people there, and led me to become, at the time, an Evernote ambassador, which is a program they no longer have. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of morphed into the current Evernote certified consultant program, which I'm one of the first Evernote certified consultants as a result of my long relationship with Evernote. And I just slowly transitioned my business from social media consulting and using Evernote to run my own self-employed business to showing people how I realized how transformative that was. And I saw how Evernote dramatically changed how I worked from being when I was an employee, how I worked to how I was as a self-employed Evernote run business user. Mm-hmm. Totally different. And I saw it as transformative, and I saw it as the direction I wanted to go. And I started to realize that there's a lot of other people out there that are interested in that as well. So I shifted my business, and I did consulting in Evernote for a long time and before I switched into taking what I know and putting it into my course.
So this course, I believe it's called Radical Productivity?
Yes, Radical Productivity with Evernote.
With Evernote, perfect. So tell us a bit, I mean, now you get the listeners hooked to Evernote, and we talked about Evernote before on the podcast several times. So what can they learn from this course that you're providing?
Sure. Well, what I find is that most people have a similar experience to this. They download Evernote on their phone, mm-hmm. and they look at it and they're like, what am I missing? Why are people like Stacy so, exactly. and Peter so into Evernote? What am I missing, right? And what I have found over the years of consulting that they're missing is really an understanding of how powerful this application is and what the nuances of the application are. And the first thing they're missing is how powerful the desktop application is. So I think of it in terms of, like, I often try to articulate for people what, like, the aha moments are that tipped me over the edge with Evernote and got me hooked on it. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different ones for a lot of different people. In fact, I have a blog post that I can share with you and your audience that talks about six aha moments that
Let's
I most
add that to the show notes. You can just send it to me afterwards. That's perfect.
Absolutely. And it describes kind of what people, you know, what were the moments that kicked them over the edge. And so in the course, I try to cover training on all of those. And so in the course, it's an acknowledgement that Evernote is different on the computer than it is on your mobile app. And I orient you to all of those features, regardless of what platform you're on, Mac, Windows, Android, iOS. It works on all of them, but it works slightly different on all of them. So it's the detail training that you need to become a master Evernote user in either a sequential path, because some people are new to Evernote and they need to go A to Z, or if you're already Evernote fluent or familiar, the ability to kind of jump into the course, which is 80 lessons long. There's 80 different lessons at the level that meets your area of learning. So it's really, I believe it's the most comprehensive skills training course on the market for Evernote, and the goal is to make you Evernote fluent and a power user by the end of it. So it's for people who really know that Evernote can change their life, and they're ready to learn what they need to learn to do that.
All right. We will, of course, link to this course in the show notes that you can access on your device or if you go to the website. So you mentioned aha moments. What kind of aha moments did you have personally? And then we can jump back into like the seven stages of the course and so on.
Sure. Well, the first I had, for me, there were two real key aha moments. The first was understanding that there's a default notebook in Evernote where regardless of where you create a note, whether it's inside or outside Evernote, because you can do both.
Yeah.
That note gets created in the default notebook by default. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
And simply, like, that was such a simple concept, but when I realized I could rename that notebook to Inbox, I went, oh, duh. Like, it's really, really simple, but it took the analogy of the physical inbox that I have on my desk where papers go in, where it's my collection point, and brought it into this digital world and made it logical, human logical. Because even though Evernote's so powerful with search and find, we have to have, I found the most effective uses of Evernote are around having some like human friendly structure that our mind can get around. And having an inbox is a very simple one. And it's one that we're very familiar with in a physical space. So taking that to a digital environment, that was one key. So that allowed me to start like centralizing and having like a holding tank for all of my digital data that I then went in and organized at some point. But the reality is we're often way too busy to organize at the time of collection. So having a holding tank was really key. Okay. So that was a transformative moment that made me go, oh yeah, now I have an intermediary step. And it's so simple, but it was really powerful. The second one was when I learned about note links, which are my absolute favorite Evernote feature. You know, kind of the double-edged sword of Evernote is that it is a blank slate. Yes. So the good news there is it's immensely flexible. You can tailor it to your business as it is today. And as your business evolves, you can modify it without needing a new software, a new program to hire a developer, all these kinds of things. The flexibility is brilliant. But for a lot of people, that means they open Evernote and they're like, I don't know what to do. Yeah. It's a blank slate, right? Note links create structure, arbitrary structure in your account. They allow you to create a connection between any two notes in your system. And there are so many use cases for that. And the way the interface works with note links is on your computer, it makes it so that you can just click a hyperlink from one note to the next. And on your phone, you just tap your screen. So you have easy access to the data that's important to you. And this is an essential part of my deployment. I have over 26,000 notes in Evernote. I mean, I'm living what I teach. I centralize everything in Evernote. And so obviously, there's some pieces of data that are key pieces of data for me, and I want to access all the time. So I am using note links and shortcuts, some of these little, that's the third aha moment, but for me was shortcuts, and combining these skills together to give myself quick access to the information I needed most of the time. Because you don't need, I have 26,000 notes in Evernote, but I don't need access to all those 26,000 notes all the time. So I use those features to really make my experience in Evernote useful to me.
So going back to the note links, if the listeners haven't used that feature, how does it work? And can you give like a practical example of where it can be very useful?
Sure. So first of all, the thing to know is to create note links, you're going to want to do it on the desktop. It's the simplest way to do it, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a little clunky otherwise, but on the desktop, it's a skill that you can learn and master very quickly and make very short using key commands. Now, I can't give you specific directions because it varies depending if you're on the Mac or the PC, okay? But so know that it works slightly different and how, like, the key command is slightly different. But really, I use it all the time to create summary notes and have a drill down to additional data. So one practical use case that I use all the time is I have, this comes from my GTD practice that I have deployed in Evernote, I have a mind sweep note. So David Allen really advocates that you should clear your mind of all the ideas, and I don't even sort it. I just decide, I have a mind sweep note that is shortcutted in my Evernote account so that I can access it from my phone or from my computer at any time. And it's a brain dump note. The entire point of that note is to just dump anything that I need to get off my mind into my mind sweep. And when I have time, I will organize it.
Okay. So do you have...
And I use note links there. I use note links there to drill down to additional related pieces of information.
So we haven't talked about mind sweep on the podcast before. So can you expand a bit about that?
Sure. Well, it sounds, I know that you discuss, you're a fan of GTD,
yes,
right?
Sure. Yes, and we so have, yes, we talked about it for, I think it's seven podcasts. So the listener should be familiar.
Okay. So getting David Allen's Getting Things Done is actually my productivity philosophy. Mm. And Evernote is my tool that I use to deploy GTD. So GTD can be deployed in lots of applications. I happen to deploy it in Evernote. And that was very transformative to me. And one of his core concepts is that your mind is a great place to have ideas, not to hold them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So Evernote's my trusted system in his idea. And the very first step that he advocates is that you get out of your mind and out of your physical environment, everything into a centralized place, a list, a mind sweep. And I use an Evernote note for that. And it's one of the most frequently accessed notes. And I will dump everything, whether it's business, personal, a project, an individual task, an idea, something for the future, something immediate, I put it there. And then I time block on a weekly basis to go through and sort and further refine that list and put it in its proper spot.
Okay, so in that note, you have also note links, links to other notes, so you can dig deeper into that.
Sure. So I'll give you a practical example. I might clip a website that has an article that I want to read, or that created an action item for me. So say I clip your website, and I decide that I'm going to, it's on my mind that I need to share that article with my network on social media.
Sure.
I might clip the website to my account. I'll copy the note link to it on my mind sweep. If I'm in a rush and I don't have time to put it right into its list, I'll throw it on there and I'll write the action item. I'll say, you know, give this to my social media gal to post on Facebook. Mm. And then I'll paste a link to it so that it can drill down and have the supporting data visible there.
Wow. Perfect. I like it. That's good. I haven't used that technique, so thank you very much. I will try to implement it. We talked about this in the last podcast with Manuel. He has a similar approach that if I have an idea, I use the tag ideas, and then I review all my ideas on the weekly review or at a time when I have time. So. And sure.
Yeah, that's it's a different approach.
Yeah.
So there's the great debate of tags versus notebooks.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I fall on the notebook side of it versus the tags. But my solution to that is what they have in common is centralization.
Yes.
So I use a note. I use a single note for that instead of a tag process.
Yeah. I mean, I will test that. I like that idea to have everything in one place. You can scroll and then drill down if you need to. So that's very good. Thank you. And the third one, shortcuts. Let's talk about that for a short minute. What's shortcuts and how can we use them?
Sure. So shortcuts are the equivalent to having a bookmark on your browser. So of my 26,000 notes, I have the ability to bookmark or like kind of pin keynotes in the interface, both on mobile and on your desktop. Now, some people might not be familiar with shortcuts immediately because it is a user visual preference that needs to be turned on in the desktop interface. So one of the key tips is to go to your view menu in your desktop app and make sure that shortcuts are turned on to be visible.
Yeah.
And once they are, you'll see them in, depending on your interface, again, it's on the left-hand sidebar in
Mac.
iOS or in Mac.
Yeah.
But in Windows, you have a choice of having it along the top, or you can have it on the left sidebar,
correct,
too.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a slightly different, even though it's the same concept. But you want to turn it on, and then you can simply pin or bookmark shortcut notes, notebooks, searches, tags, anything that you want quick access to in your Evernote account. So I keep about 10 shortcuts. I have my mind sweep note.
Mm-hmm.
I have an errands to run list. So anytime I am out and about, mostly my contextual lists. If I'm working on a project and I have a task list associated with that project, I tend to shortcut it. Let me give you another example. Oh, my Instagram strategy, you know how you can have I write down my hashtags so that I can like, when I'm posting on Instagram, I can go over to Evernote and copy those and paste them into the comments. That's been really effective for me.
All right. What's your favorite hashtag, by the way?
Evernote.
Okay.
Evernote. Also work from anywhere. I like work from anywhere.
Yes. So that's a perfect segue to the next question, because you are working from anywhere.
True.
How is that possible? Because I think most of the listeners, including myself, like that, at least from in my mind, I really like it. But tell us how you're doing it and how it's all started.
Sure. Well, the first thing is I'm self-employed and I'm a consultant, and I decided that I would centralize my life in Evernote. I made a conscious decision to centralize my life in Evernote. And that included not accumulating any more paper. I digitize everything and centralize it in Evernote. Okay. So for a while, I practiced that. And then one day I went, oh my gosh, now I have my office with me wherever I go because it's all in Evernote. It's all on my phone. It's on my computer. I'm like, all I need is power. I don't even need the internet. You can work with Evernote offline. And I said, I've created a job where I can work from anywhere. Why am I not working from anywhere? And really, it's Evernote that enables that for me because I can find and retrieve whatever I need at any time from whatever device I'm on. And I don't even need my device. I can use anyone else's device. So that was the structure that enabled me to do it. And then I really embraced the co-working movement. I joined WeWork, which you may be familiar with.
Tell us what it is.
Yeah, so it's really the largest co-working space co-working concept in the co-working space. They have they're based in New York, but they have locations in over 150 countries and cities, or 150 cities across the world. Mm-hmm. And it's very affordable for freelancers. You know, they really appeal to creators and independent contractors and people who want to. In fact, you can see here, even on my phone, there's key cards. Their motto is "Do what you love."
Do what you love. Right? WeWork. Yeah.
Yeah. So I loved that, and I get a lot of energy from working out of their spaces. And when I travel, I can visit those other spaces. So I really liked that. I also found another concept called Roam. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No, I haven't.
It's like Roam the World. ROAM.co. Oh, okay. And what they do is cater to location-independent people who can work from anywhere. And they have properties. They have four properties across the world. And when I found them, I said, okay, I'm going to go to Bali. So I picked up my computer, and I went to Bali. And you rent a room from them for a month. And they have co-working space and a community kitchen and Wi-Fi and a community manager. And you go and you work with other location-independent people. And because I'm centralized in Evernote, I just did that from Bali.
Welcome to the future.
And it's awesome. And I enjoyed it so much that I went and worked from Miami for a month, just a couple months ago, which they have a property in Miami. And that let me go to, you know, you're working during the day, but then on the weekend, you're going to Key West or you're going out to dinner in South Beach. It was great. Yeah. And so later this year, I'm planning on going to their London property. Yes. And then hopefully next year I'll go to Tokyo. So I'm just able to actually embark upon that because there's these new models in place and my world is with me in Evernote. So I have access to everything I need when I'm there.
All right. That's very interesting. And I think it appeals to a lot of the listeners. They want to do what you're doing, to be location independent. At least I want to be. Even if I like the location that I'm on, Gothenburg, Sweden, I would like to be able to go anywhere and still have create value through different kind of ventures.
It's not only about, I don't know if this is off topic for you or not, but it's not only about the work, which is a big piece of the puzzle, right? Mm-hmm. You have to create work that will allow you to work remotely. But what I love about what's happening is the community aspect of WeWork and Roam. Because I am, you know, to travel as a single female, they took out all the risk for me. You know, they created community right there. And now I have friends from all over the world. It's just amazing what the technology can do. And it taught me, you know, you may have more exposure to this than we do here in the United States, but I was shocked at how I feel like the rest of the world's figured out that you can work remotely. And the United States is still like, you're going to Bali? I don't understand. You know, my friends looked at me like I was very strange. And it was actually quite wonderful. So
let's say that the listeners, okay, they perhaps want to take your route and become location independent. But what was your biggest hurdle when you centralized everything in Evernote? Because that, I think, is much doable on a smaller step, perhaps, to work towards a paperless life.
Yes. So that is a big step. So first of all, I just like to make the clarification that I am not anti-paper. I am anti-file storage. So I think when you accept the fact, like, I don't try to be paperless. I try to be file free, which is a different word. We have papers are part of our world. And I think when you accept that and just make plans for how to digitize it, you have a slightly different perspective that yields very different results. Yeah. So, for example, what I have is I have learned, and this is the hurdle I see people having, is they don't have enough knowledge about the application to make it easy to digitize their paper. Yeah. And when you listen to someone like me say, just pull out Scannable, take a picture of it, and it'll be in Evernote, it sounds so easy. And for me, on a day-to-day basis, it absolutely is very simple. Mm-hmm. But I have my settings configured properly. Yeah. I review those on a regular basis. I understand which is my notebook that's going into. I understand how to quickly move notes around inside Evernote. I understand all of these details because I understand the application and how Scannable relates to Evernote. Mm-hmm. And I understand that I'm on iOS, and if I'm on Android, it's going to be slightly different. So these are the things I tried to teach, in fact, that I do teach in the course, because it's investing the time to learn those little nuances that make Evernote really magical and make it efficient. Like, I am extremely efficient in Evernote, but I also understand the application. Hmm.
That brings us, I just want to comment something with digitalizing things in general. And have you heard about Peter Diamandis?
No, I haven't. What is it?
Okay, Peter Diamandis is the creator behind XPRIZE. And okay. He has a mastermind called Abundance 360. But he has this model for, because now we're living in exponential times, and he calls it the 6 Ds of exponential. And the first step to become exponential, it can be exponential growth as a person or as a business. And the first thing is to digitalize. And then there's some other Ds that we're not going to talk about in this podcast.
I would agree with that with one caveat. Digitizing in itself is a important step, but I pair it with centralizing. Because if you can't search for what you need, if you can't find what you need, digitizing gets you nowhere.
Then it's worse. Yes, of course. I agree. And that brings us into your key skill, as you mentioned before, organizing. And then I just want to talk a bit about how you implemented GTD in your Evernote structure.
Sure. Okay.
So how did you do it? Just give us perhaps the cliff notes. I know you have a course on this. We're going to come back to the course in just a bit.
Okay. So, first of all, I'm a massive advocate. The skill that I would leave everybody with is naming conventions. Mm-hmm. You need to understand how Evernote sorts their notebooks, which is alphabetical. And you need to learn, and again, I have another blog post about this to share with your audience. It's called Gaming the Naming.
Perfect.
So it talks about how you can force Evernote into an order that, again, is human and mind-friendly, that is organized in a way that you want, okay? And there are so many benefits to this, and I talk about them in the course, but it exponentially grows the benefits when you properly name your naming conventions, because you can start to get into key shortcuts and moving data around lickety-split, okay, which is key also. So naming conventions on your notebooks, and then I take that a step further, and I am very, very cognizant about the naming conventions I have on my notes.
Okay, example?
I'm not a big tag fan. I'm not against tags, but I instead will, like, I just am deploying for the course a bonus that's a template library. And so in the naming convention of all those notes, it all starts with the word template, colon, template, colon, template, colon, template, colon. You do project management in Evernote, and I have a single note in each project notebook that is called project tasks, colon. And then I list the project so that I can do a find for in title.
Yes.
And do project management, and they'll all come up. And I can sort those. So I'm using all these little skills that Evernote has to find, retrieve, and then organize the data I want because I set the foundation properly with my naming convention.
Nice. That's really great tips there that people can implement right away. In your experience, the biggest problem with implementing a naming convention, do you think we make it too complex, or should we start easy from your experience?
Yeah, you need to commit to naming your notes. I don't care what you name them, but name them. Okay. And what will happen is you'll start to pick up tips that you'll want to start to apply, but having the note be the default note title is going to hinder you. It's yeah. not the end all, because Evernote search is so powerful that it'll find it even in the body of the note, but give it a descriptive note title. I am committed to that. It takes a few seconds, but those seconds are well worth it in the rest of my system. And mm-hmm. don't be concerned about it. Name it something that is meaningful to you. And yes. if you're stuck between naming it project manager or project management, put both in the title. I don't care. Just put it in there. It's fine. And it also, another detailed tip that might be helpful for some of your more advanced users is when you create a note link, which I've talked about how powerful it is, that note link, when you paste it, is the title of the note. So you can see how, like, just readability when you scan a note link, you create a table of contents note. Like, if you have a meaningful title on your note, that impacts your productivity in Evernote as well.
I use dates for some of my notes. With this structure, it doesn't really work. And I noticed that myself when I search for notes, because I can't remember what happened 2015, the 20th of May or something like that. So this is much smarter to take the extra second. If you take a snapshot of your notes, for instance, for this podcast, for me, I will then name it podcast or colon podcast in the beginning. It's a great tip.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah. So like I would name it like podcast colon Stacey Harmon.
Exactly.
Right. Because those are like whatever you would want to tag a note, I'd put in the note title.
Yeah. And that's also complementary to your Mindsweep system that you mentioned before. So thank you very much. Maybe you have some other tips for your implementation of GTD in Evernote.
Sure. Well, I'm a little unique in my GTD deployment. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, what happened to me, part of my story is I was using Evernote already and I liked it. And I was freaking out about being self-employed. Like you can see I have a lot of hair, and I would like go and be blow drying my hair, and I couldn't even make it through blow drying my hair because I had to go log all these ideas or like couldn't figure out what to work on next. I was freaking out. I just could not handle being self-employed. It was overwhelming. I was drowning. And a friend of mine, a wise friend of mine, said, "Stacey, stop what you're doing and go read this book." And it was David Allen's Getting Things Done. And that changed my world. I went, oh my gosh, when I was coping better, I was already deploying, you know, I was doing some of the things he was talking about. And I realized, okay, there's an opportunity here. So I took what he says to the extreme. I centralized everything. I even do my task management in Evernote, which Evernote is not a native task manager.
No.
Okay, so that's controversial just in itself. And I don't advocate everybody does their task management in Evernote. So, but in terms of how I work, I do 100% of my task management in Evernote. So I've adopted like his Tickler system into Evernote, and I use it to do my tasks and note links and moving data and sorting data and naming conventions, all very important to my overall system. And they require little seconds of time, and they require a devotion to the practice, which is another thing that he advocates, but it's well worth it for me because I have the ability to cope with all kinds of things and also know what I'm not getting to, which results in peace of mind and the ability for my mind to think in a way that it's designed to do and not have to remember. So Evernote is my trusted system.
I like the idea of having one system. I'm also, my problem is that I like new shiny objects. So when I see, you know, a new app or something like that, I want to try this new GTD app. And then I do a little bit there, and then some new app comes along. So I'm struggling too, but I understand and appreciate to have everything in one place. I think that that's a good practice to have. Looking into the future, where do you think, or where do you see productivity going, and where is Evernote emerging, so to speak, from your experience?
So it's certainly a great question. I don't have insider access. I don't know by any means. But I think I really think, back to some themes I've already discussed, I think that the more we can centralize, the more productive we'll be. And then when centralization is complemented with search, you have power. And Evernote is built for search. So it's very well positioned. And then when you can bring your own human organization to it through, you know, the skills of note naming conventions, et cetera, you have a lot of opportunity for success. And then when talking about where Evernote's going, in my observation, when we see this like Google Drive integration that they have, I think that that's the future. I think the more, like what they recognize is, as humans, if we can centralize as much as possible, that's good, but it's just not always practical. Sometimes data is going to live on Google Drive. Yeah. So the more Evernote can provide us these integrations, these official integrations, to make that Google Drive document more accessible within our primary app, the more productivity gains that we're going to see. So just acknowledging the fact that it's not always realistic to 100% centralize, you know, constantly try to, but the more ties are created between these main buckets of data and trying to minimize those main buckets of data, that's where I kind of see and hope that the future goes. So that's one example, Google Drive. I'm hoping that we'll also see it with like conversation apps and communication. You know, like we have Work Chat in Evernote now, but maybe it's a better fit for Evernote to have us be able to share notes and notebooks and data through Slack, for example.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of thing. So those kinds of integrations, I think, are the direction of the future. And so my plan is to continue to centralize as much as possible, but maximize those integrations as they get released.
I like your chain of thought there. I think I think you're onto something. The centralization and search, and then adding on other products like Slack, as you mentioned, Google Drive is already existing. I think they will probably expand on that feature, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the course. So now the listener is probably hooked to Evernote, at least I am and you are, so they have at least two persons in the world that really likes Evernote. Now they perhaps, there's so many good things here, but they want a structure to learn. Then they can go to your site. Please give us your URL and how they can access the course.
Sure. My website is harmonenterprises.com, H-A-R-M-O-N, enterprises.com. And if you add a /enroll to that, you'll be taken to the course page where you can learn much more about it and join if it is interesting to you, which I hope it will be. And then my YouTube channel also is a great way to follow me, but at harmonenterprises.com in the upper right-hand corner, there's links to all my social channels and you can connect with me there. So great way to talk about or connect with me on multiple channels.
Social media channel are you most active? Where can listeners?
You know, I'm on Facebook quite a bit. I'm happy on Facebook. I love talking on Twitter. I don't get a lot of people talking to me on Twitter these days, but I love Twitter. I've always enjoyed it. And I'm on Instagram and Facebook. So, and YouTube is I create a lot of tips on YouTube to kind of show case studies about how I use Evernote. I have a series called Evernote in the Wild, where I showed, you know, how I used Evernote to support my trip to Bali, as well as other things that pop up where Evernote proves useful to me here. So I try to give use cases. Mm-hmm. So I like all of them. I like social.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a YouTube series, if I understand correctly. YouTube in the Wild.
Evernote in the Wild.
Evernote in the Wild, sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
So we will link to everything that you mentioned here. Is there anything else you want to mention about the course? I mean, we talked a lot about Evernote here, but...
Sure. Well, I mean, it's a great community of Evernote users and advocates who are really serious about using Evernote. I have 8 other Evernote certified consultants in the course, and there's a private forum where I moderate it. So it's only access to me because I'm no longer doing consulting. I'm instead helping the students inside the course to further utilize and grow their Evernote usage. So if that is, if self-paced study is of interest to you and I keep the course current, I welcome you to come into the course. It's 80 lessons broken down into little modules of 3 to 25 minutes. So everything's bite-sized. And crosses all time zones because you can watch it whenever you want. And we have an international audience in there too, which is like the biggest reward for me is finding other productivity junkies from around the world. You know, it really excites me and I love learning from them as well as, you know, sharing my tips and efficiencies as well. So I would welcome your audience there. It'd be great.
Perfect. Is it open all year round?
Yes, you can get to, the course is always available, and you can access it at any time.
Okay, perfect. We will link to that from the show notes, of course, so you can just click and check out and read more about Stacy and her adventures. What do you think of any life tips, like in general?
I mean, it sounds like your audience is a group of seekers, people who are looking to, you know, evolve themselves and their lives and their business. And I definitely identify with that. I know that if I, you know, I knew 10 years ago that I wanted to be, you know, more flexible in my workspace, that I wanted to create my own company and that I was in the wrong industry. And it actually took me 18 years to get out of the industry that I knew I never wanted to be in when I first started. And so I think I'm a slow learner. I could have listened to that voice a little earlier. So if you have that voice in your head that's just crying at you to try something else, give that a little bit of space in your world. You know, you don't have to make a leap over to it immediately, but I would start entertaining that. I kind of wish I had started earlier because I'm starting to thrive and find more energy and more enthusiasm and natural passion when I followed what was in my mind since I was 21, you know, but it took me a little time.
I see. And that was actually, you answered the final question, which is knowing what I now know, what would you have done differently the last 10 years? And I guess that would be listen to your inner voice.
Absolutely. I could have moved there quicker. I guess better late than never, you know, but it's still, you know, it's an interesting part of your life journey is I knew it was there at that time. And I didn't have the courage, really. I was quite shy and I didn't have the courage to do it. And I would change that if I could go back and do it again.
So be more courageous listening to your inner voice. Would that be something that you said to yourself?
Yeah, trust it. I trust it and take some small step. Back to David Allen, break it down into something, one single action step. You know, you don't have to change your whole life. Take one little action step. Read a book. Take the course. Become a master in Evernote so that you can centralize all your ideas as you move forward to something else, you know? But start your journey. Listen to that voice and entertain it a little bit. Make space for that.
Perfect. I think that's a great way to end this podcast. Stacy Harmon, thank you for being on the Flawed Podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really, really enjoyed it, Peter. And I look forward to hearing from your audience. Please connect with me on social.
All right. Thank you very much for listening to the Flawed Podcast. Theme music by Erik Rådbo. Thank you, Erik. You are awesome. For show notes for this episode and all other episodes, visit flawed.se/podcast. And there you will find links to Stacy's course, of course, to our course, Focused Productivity, where Evernote is just a small part of improving your productivity. And Stacy digs really deep. I've seen her course. It's really good. So the two courses combined would make you an ultra super productivity Evernote guru ninja. While you're at it, please give us 5 stars, a 5-star review. That means helping us, sharing the message from Stacy and all the other guests. We're also active on social media. This is Flawed in One Word. You can connect with me there, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and so on. We're mostly active on Instagram. And if you like what you hear, you can sign up for our newsletter. We send out a newsletter once every month or so. It's usually in Swenglish, meaning combining Swedish and English. And we share what we're doing, what happens next, some small tips for mobility and Evernote, and also some workshops we have when we release this podcast, an upcoming workshop with breathing. Me and a guy called Anton, who is a Wim Hof trainer. We have mentioned Wim Hof on the podcast several times. Breathing is a key skill. And while we're talking about key skills, habits is what shape our lives.
That is why I am a habit coach on a digital habit coach on coach.me. You can find me there and I will coach you to improve your day-to-day habits. If you live in Gothenburg, please come down to CrossFit Backaplan, Totus Fitness, where I am a coach and a CrossFit mobility trainer. And before I let you go, I just want to give a shout out to our sponsors. Please support them. They are linked on flow.se/sponsors, and I can highlight one, which is Pori. Pori is a supplement company from Denmark. They have vitamin D, which is really important this time of year when it's really dark, especially here in the Nordics. And also, I want to thank you listeners for listening, giving feedback, guest suggestions, all the 5 stars. Really appreciate it. This is so much fun. It takes a lot of time, but it's so much fun and it's always worth it. So thank you. If you have any feedback, just email me, pl@flow.se. I read everything. All right, I look forward to be serving another episode the next time. But until then, remember, luck fortunes the brave.